do in this day and age, God. We do pray for distractions to be minimized, and heal your people and help us, as already has been prayed. Most of all, help us be spiritually healthy and obedient. Now, God, we do pray you'll meet with us tonight and those that may hear this message. Help me say some things that will be a blessing, that will challenge and provoke us to godliness, good works. Help us be willing to hear and willing to face things that the immature and ungodly will not face. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to postpone just for a week or two this question of grounds for divorce. We've been dealing with abuse, things like murder and attempted murder and those types of questions in relation to marriage and divorce. So right here we're going to insert tonight's message, which has a question: can some abuse be avoided? We certainly apply this concept to all kinds of things. In many ways, this is a safety-consumed generation. They preach it when it fits their agenda, see. My question is, why don't we apply these principles, as the Word of God does, to all types of dangers? So when I ask the question, can some abuse be avoided, I certainly do not mean that all abuse, there's all kinds of abuse, and I certainly don't mean that every specific case of abuse could have been avoided. We know, you should know, this text here in Corinthians: be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So we know some bad behavior can be avoided simply on the basis of who you hang around with, what you consume yourself with. Communications, people around you, your friends, your relations, what you listen to, the entertainment you listen to, the music you listen to. I think one of the most abusive things that a person can do is coddle to deceived, immature, undeveloped brains and minds for the sake of money or for pleasing people. See, when you have responsible leaders, they do what is right to protect people, regardless of what the crowd thinks, regardless of what is popular. That was the point of the government that our founding fathers set up. It's called a republic. They purposely did not set up a democracy. They set up a republic. But they gave some qualifiers. Now, the republic means that you have leaders that are supposed to do right. They're supposed to do right regardless of the crowd. See, you elect leaders that will stand against the voice of the crowd to do wrong. But they gave a disclaimer. Our first president in 1796 says, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. He says you really can't have a good government, you can't have a prosperous government if you get rid of morality and you get rid of religion. The second president, John Adams, in 1798 says our Constitution was made only for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. I used to wonder, when they set up the republic as an experiment, how did they think this thing was going to last, you know? And when you go back and read, they weren't that ignorant. They said it is only for moral people. If you lose morality, this whole thing crumbles down to the ground. Because then you'll have leaders that you elect that will be wicked and everything falls apart. Now this is important. If you were to draw a sharp line between two positions, it's not against wisdom to see if there's anything at all on the other side that should be admitted on your side that you think is true. For example, we know evolution's demonic, occult, satanic, pagan. Yet, we understand that there is something called microevolution. Might not be the best name for it, but we understand that there is adaption within a kind, within a species, if you will. There can be change based on environment to some degree. What we disagree with is that a dog cannot become a cat, or a mouse cannot become a dog, etc., you see. So that's an example of not taking one side to such a degree that you don't try to see if there's anything that's true on the other side. This is really just discretion, rightly dividing the Word of God. It takes growth, it takes skill, it takes practice, it takes balance. So we might say on one side there is extreme, outright victim blaming and shaming. You will hear that sometimes. That's obviously wrong. It should be reproved. However, the mercies of the wicked are cruel. When a wicked person or a wicked culture tries to be merciful, they end up very, very wicked in their mercies. One Hollywood celebrity, I don't even know who she is, Anne Hathaway, she told The View recently, which is just a show to brainwash women, and it says, abortion can be another word for mercy, she said. Abortion, another word for mercy. So the mercies of the wicked are cruel, says God. That's some abominable mercy to abort a baby. But they don't care about the baby. They're not thinking of the baby. So these are insane people. They have imbalance when it comes to moral reasoning. So it's part of mercy and godliness and love to know when to say things. Everything that's true doesn't need to be said at every single time. See, there's a time to say things. There's also virtue and skill of saying things in the right way. The measure isn't whether somebody likes it or not. That should be some measure, but that is not the absolute measure. We need to say what has to be said, whether people like it or not. But there is a time and there is a way, and God understands this and teaches us these things. But what I'm saying is, if you end up with a culture that goes so far with this idea of never, ever, ever hold a victim responsible, in any degree, even the slightest degree, or let's even phrase it in a more tactful, kinder way. If you end up with a culture that says you should never learn from a tragic event what you could have learned from it. They say 2020 is, or hindsight is 2020. The idea is, what could we have learned here? What could we have done different? That's not victim blaming. There may be nothing you could have done. But maybe there's some things that you can look at that our culture can do to prevent these things from happening, that parents can do to prevent these things from happening as much, and even individuals can do to prevent tragedies from happening again and again. That is actually mercy. But anything dealing with accountability or responsibility, it's shunned by this culture. Let me just say it another way. Is there any place for prevention in regard to abuse? Whatever abuse, you want to fill in the blank. Is there ever a place for prudence, for responsibility? Everybody, to some degree, admits that obviously that's the case. They're obviously here with their neighborhood watches trying to prevent kidnapping and breaking and entering and that type of thing, murders in their neighborhood. They understand this concept, but they're afraid to apply it consistently because of political correctness, because there's certain things that you're not allowed to say, even if they're true. There's certain things you're not allowed to ever deal with. So can you teach people to be prudent, responsible, careful, without victim blaming or shaming in some type of uncouth, insensitive, unbalanced manner? I believe you can. Some claim that there was a preacher, and I've never heard it for myself. They might just be overreacting. But they claim that there is a preacher that preached on Tamar that got raped by her stepbrother and claims that the whole thing was how she was stupid and it was her fault. Now, if that's so, that's a very unbalanced preacher. That is a very uncouth, ungodly, unbalanced way of preaching. I have not verified that myself. But if we close our minds in emotional ways, it's going to breed fools. And fools experience hardships that may not have been necessary. So we know the mercy of the wicked, the foolish wicked, is cruel. It pretends to help victims. But how does never teaching young people that there are proactive ways that you can minimize becoming a victim? How does never teaching prudence or carefulness or avoidance, all those biblical wisdom keys of Proverbs that God has inspired to equip young people, how is it mercy to ignore those things? It's not mercy at all. But wait a minute, this society today, they admit that certain information can produce certain results. They know this is a fact. They know that communications can influence behavior. The whole idea of marketing, there would be no marketing if this is not true. There would be no jingles. There would be no commercials if this is not true. They know they can influence you to buy certain things. Even if they don't influence absolutely everybody, if they know they can get a percentage to do what they want to do by marketing. They know this works to such a degree that right now they are rabid. Every news site that's corporate media, just about all of the socialist media, the modern media, all of it is all saying almost word for word the same thing. We need to beware of misinformation. We need to beware of disinformation. It can really affect people. It can hurt people. It can harm people. They are admitting we disagree what they call misinformation. We disagree with what they call disinformation. Usually. But we're all in agreement that communications and such like can influence behavior and lead to negative or evil or bad behavior. They just reverse what is good and evil sometimes. See? Look at them in regard to COVID safety. Wow, they went insane. They went overboard. COVID safety, you got to be preventative. And I believe there's some things we ought to do. But they went insane. Like in China right now, they're killing their people. They are harming anybody that protests. They're locking them down. Horrible situation. And they want to bring that over here, and they tried to bring that here. It's all about prevention. We can prevent bad things from happening, see, they say. Well, why don't you apply this to abuse? I'll explain as we go along. There's an outbreak of antisocial behavior today. Manners are not being taught. If you raise selfish, rude, lazy kids that don't respect anybody else, they just love their self, what's the cost to society? Everybody mocks tradition. They say, don't discipline your kids. That's terrible. That's unmerciful. But generation after generation keeps raising these undisciplined children that have not been punished, and they grow up spoiled. They grow up to be very horrible people in many situations. And this is what it has created. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. It'll be very dangerous, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They haven't been taught to have manners, to respect others, to think of other people. They'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. They can't control themselves. They've never been taught to control themselves. Fierce. They'll rape you. They'll kill you for nothing. Despisers of those that are good. If we have an abusive society, why is everybody teaching against training and disciplining children to teach them to not be selfish? Maybe a lot of abuse that is occurring in society can be prevented if we'd get back to biblical, but you're not allowed to because you've been taught that that was an evil society. There was no good in the generations before us, at least in the Christian period of time. It must be mocked. It must be scorned. But yet this is what we're dealing with right now. The Bible said a generation will arise whose teeth are as swords. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. These leeches end up raising selfish people and all they think about is themselves. Let me show you where we're going. And in many ways we're already here. This world has hated their public education, their culture, Hollywood. They have hated true fundamental Christianity, and they have applauded paganism. Well, paganism is what you get. You can only hope that a generation will arise where somebody, some people, will begin to understand what paganism and what lands and cultures were like before Christianity came. I don't mean Catholicism, I mean Christianity. You have no idea the savagery and the brutality of the Druids, the Aztecs, many of these pre-Christian cultures. Everything's being turned upside down. You're being taught that Christian traditional culture is bad, but paganism is beautiful. Really? Even the Romans would throw up and get disgusted at the other pagans like the Druids with their Christmas trees and all the things that the Druids had. They'd put people in baskets and just burn just hundreds and hundreds of them. The Mayans, the Aztecs, I can't even tell you some of the things that they would do. They would eat babies alive. I mean, it's just horrible. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm not going to go down this road, but I'm just going to let you know. You do not even understand. You do not even have the slightest understanding of what they are creating here by leaving a Christian culture and replacing it with an ancient pagan, deranged Canaanite culture. Let me show you the nice, loving pagans, okay? This is what we're having today. This is what they're creating today. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father, saying, get me this damsel to wife. What do you have here? You have confused morality. You have a confused, darkened, pagan morality that is very kind and sweet and loving as it rapes you. This is what's being created in young men today. Why doesn't somebody ask, maybe we better get back to Christian principles? Maybe pagan principles is not what we want. Godly father-child interaction is lacking today. So the points are this, in summary. So few are willing to look at whether we promote, that what we promote and glorify, they're unwilling to look at what that becomes in culture. In other words, you go to a movie, everybody eats popcorn, and it's about some horrible murderer raping people? And you have all kinds of things where just a few years ago, the murderers are praised. The gangsters. Oh, have you ever heard about this person or this person? That they praise all of these gangsters and murderers. Billy the Kid or this fella or this fella. They're like, oh, wow, let's go see and let's glorify this stuff. And they go to the movies, eat their popcorn, and glorify murder and rape. Then they get in their car with a CD or whatever their music is, and they have 50 Cent or whatever these rappers are, and they listen to them. Well, who is 50 Cent? Well, somebody just killed 30 people on the street, just walked around as a thug, shooting people, killing people. Why are you glorifying murderers? Oh, because that's what we do. Our music, our movies, we glorify rape and killing and murder. We name ourselves after the murderers. So let's just ask a question. Are we allowed to ask this question? Is that not misinformation, disinformation? Is that not evil? Will that not result in at least some people thinking murder is good, rape is good, treating women with disrespect is good? Oh, you're not allowed to say that. You're becoming a traditionalist, a Christian. You're not allowed to say that. It's just entertainment. Well, you're glorifying rape and murder while you're saying that these things are supposedly bad, which we agree with. That's number one. Why won't you look at what you promote is what you get? You got to be a moron. You got to be insane. You got to be devil-possessed to think, oh, you give a bunch of junior high kids a whole bunch of stuff about raping women and disrespecting women and killing each other, and you're not going to get some of that. They asked a bunch of women in 1999 that were mothers. They said, listen, you have kids in junior high, right? You have kids in junior high school. They said, yeah, we do. They said, let me ask you a question. Do you think some of this rap music they're listening to about killing and violence, do you think that might have something to do with why kids are becoming immoral and violent in the schools? Over 50% of the mothers, or nearly 50% of the mothers said, yes, that's common sense. It sure seems to be common sense to me. The tragic thing is only 50% of mothers had the sense. The other 50% were afraid to say it. I'm afraid to say that. It's common sense, but I'm afraid to say it. Wow. What do you do? Number two. So few are willing to look at whether many of the things our forefathers warned us about were right. Not allowed to do that. The Bible says Elijah will come and he'll turn you back to your fathers. Turn your hearts back to your fathers. God says in Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. God says, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. God says if you just get back to the old paths, it's not going to bring in the millennial kingdom. You still pray for thy kingdom to come, but you'll have a better society, a better culture, a better life than rejecting God's ways. So we have a reality today where most of the culture is shunned. Most people in the culture shun anybody that tries to bring you back to the old paths. They will shun you like you're somebody coughing in a Walmart line in the days of COVID. Can you imagine being in a Walmart line in the days of COVID and having somebody coughing behind you? Oh my, well, that's what you are like to this society. If you tell them you need to get back to some old ways that your great-grandparents understood, boy, they don't like that at all. Ironside was a biblical commentator at the first of the 20th century, 100 years ago. He said that he watched with his own eyes a bunch of rowdy people in a bar come outside the bar. They were drunk, hanging out, drinking. And he saw a bunch of women that were immodest and that type of thing walking by, and they barely lifted a finger. But one time, a very modest, feminine woman with a bonnet came by, and somebody said something and disrespected her, and every one of those men in the bar half killed the man because he dared to say that to that lady. Now, you're not allowed to even engage in this conversation that I'm presenting to you right now. Why were the men more apt to defend and respect and honor the feminine, modest woman? I'm not saying that they should not have honored and done the same thing for any woman. They should have. But why did they rush? I've had people tell me, they said, you know what, I've seen it on the street. I've seen total disrespect until a virtuous woman, a modest woman walked by, and then everybody, they'll fight each other. They'll rebuke, hey, you honor her. What's going on? Is there something in man, men in general, that needs that reminder of a difference between male and female? If anybody has such a deranged, narrow mind that you take that and say, Pastor Joey said it's okay to disrespect a woman with short hair or a masculine woman. I said nothing of the kind. You're a deranged, evil person if you jump to that conclusion. I'm asking, what has our culture done? And if you think, well, that crazy fundamental preacher, do you know what he said? He even questioned whether if women were more feminine or they stayed more feminine, whether there would be less abuse in society. Now, you go ahead and mock that question all you want, but the first feminists that everybody worships in the 19th century made the exact statement. They said, we want rights. Some of them hated the Bible. They said, we got to get rid of the Bible or we'll never get anywhere as women. A lot of them were wicked people, but here's what they said. They said, if we lose our femininity, we want to fight for our rights, but we don't want to lose femininity, or we'll end up with a pagan culture. We'll end up with men abusing us and victimizing us. They said, the thing that has allowed this Christian culture to honor women has been our feminine garments, our feminine acting. It's the thing that reminds men that we are women. And that was said by feminists, not fundamentalists. That was said by people that hated Moses, people that hated the Bible. So let's ask this question here. Nobody would blame Dinah primarily. You'd blame that wicked man that raped her. But shouldn't we also blame the depraved culture that that man grew up in? And what about Joseph and the older brothers? Where were they? Shouldn't they have been watching over Dinah? I don't know. We don't know to what degree. We don't know the details of what happened. But can we even dare to ask whether Dinah might have avoided this? I'm not saying she could have absolutely avoided it. A rapist can come right into your house. You know, there's all kinds of wicked things. There's nobody saying that you can absolutely avoid abuse of any kind. But what we're saying is, can some abuse, we're questioning, can some abuse be avoided? Might Dinah have avoided what she experienced had she not gone out away from her father, away from safety, to see the daughters of the land because of her curiosity? Are you able to have a brain mature enough to understand that that's not saying Dinah was primarily responsible? We're saying, could she have done something with more prudence that might have avoided that? Or better yet, say it another way. Is there something that everybody could have learned? And is there something we can learn today about what happened to Dinah so we can keep other women safe? Is that in the Bible for the very purpose of saying, you know what? I need to be careful. I need to obey my father. I need to make sure I'm not wandering around a really bad neighborhood, around really bad people, unprotected, with nobody around me, just because I'm curious. I want to see the daughters of the land. A lot of people are getting hurt that way because of a lack of carefulness, which does not excuse the wicked people that take advantage of somebody. Why are these questions shunned? I think, my theory, is there's people that want to destroy the family. They want to get that daughter away from the father that can protect her. They want a disruption of society. I think that. You say, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I believe some people want to bring down America. And one way they bring down America is corrupting the youth of America. Other people are just stupid. Why would you not ask such questions? What are the consequences of not asking these questions? Joab warned a messenger that when King David found out that men died near the wall, that he would explode. And if it be so that the king's wrath arises, and he says unto thee, wherefore approached you so nigh into the city when you did fight? Knew you not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? And did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebez? Why went you nigh the wall? David was such a type, even though he was in sin here, Joab knew that he was the type of person that would look at a tragedy and say, why did you let that happen? What responsibility do we have? That doesn't mean you could have avoided something in every single tragedy. But if there's an obvious thing that could have happened, there's a time and place to look and examine. Even Paul said, men, if you'd had listened to me, you wouldn't have received all of this tragedy, all of these things. We can all look back over our lives and say, what are things that could have possibly been done to avoid a situation? There's a time for that. There's a time for that. Do you know many teen girls, this is common sense, if they drink just a little bit of alcoholic drink, they'll begin to giggle. And all of a sudden, within a few minutes later, they'll have zero memory of anything. And they will wake up the next day with zero memory. All they remember is drinking a sweet little alcoholic drink and giggling, and they don't remember anything else after that. Does that justify what any boy or man did to them to take advantage of that state? No. No, it doesn't justify. But why is there not an outcry all around the nation telling girls not to drink? They already know just a little bit can cause cancer. They already know what it does to a woman. But I'm talking morally. Why don't they say, stay away from alcohol. Don't go any place where alcohol even is. And the reverse is also true. There's been many cute teen males or handsome teen males that have drunk a little bit or even without drinking that older women have tried to take advantage of. See, we're falling back into the culture of Egypt, and alcohol is something you want to stay far away from. Stay away from dangerous people. Stay away from alcohol. Got just this strange delusion. I don't have to be careful. I don't have to carry a gun. I don't have to learn self-defense. I don't have to check in with my father. Even Saul, when he was an adult, before he was king, said, we got to get back home. We don't have a cell phone. He's going to stop looking for the asses and he's going to worry about me. Here's an adult man who God was going to make king that was conscientious enough to say, my father's going to worry. I got to check in with my father. You've got sexual kidnapping, you've got rape, you've got abuse all around this country. It is not an age, it is not a time, if it ever was, to walk around in this society without carefulness. We live in a depraved pagan culture now. You know what they're saying today because of pornography and movies and rap music? There are young men that have arisen, millions of them, that say she wants to be raped. She wants to be abused. So if everybody knows, or a lot of people know, this is what's happening, what happens when you dress in the character of that female that supposedly wants to be abused? Are there not devil-possessed, deranged, confused, foolish men that say, hey, I already believe all women want to be abused. This is the culture I'm drinking. And now she's even dressing the part and advertising it. She wants me to chase her. And then they see the woman get into her car and listen to rap music about being abused and degraded like a dog. She comes into work with headphones on or whatever it may be, iPod, and he says, what are you listening to? And it's some murdering rapist or somebody that's singing about it, glorifying things that could never and should never even be stated. And this woman's walking around listening to being treated with such disrespect in this pagan music. There's confused men, confused males that say, look what she listens to. Look how she dresses. And already in his deluded mind, he thinks this is how she wants to be treated. I didn't have to look very hard. This was just the other day, November 8th. This is the chilling moment a delusional incel brags to police officers about chasing a colleague down the street after she rejected him. The man is seen talking to cops in Tennessee after playing a song for his ex-colleague at the Cracker Barrel restaurant, his worker. He told police his intentions were to play a song for the woman so he could try and be with her. But instead, he left the woman frightened during the traumatic ordeal. The man is heard saying to cops, her father called me up and made some threats to me. One officer responded, for chasing his daughter? He said, yeah, but it wasn't chasing. It was like going down a couple of streets. That's like fun to women. Women like that. There's a little bit of excitement. This man said, I got a song to play for you. And he chased her. And he even went to the cops and said, this dad got mad at me. You need to take note of this dad. And the policeman's confused. He says, what made you think you needed to chase her? He said, well, that's what women want. They want to be treated that way. Hey, he says something else. The policeman begins to argue with the man. And the man argues back with the policeman and says, you don't understand pornography? You don't understand? This is what's happening in the movies and everything. His whole culture, everything that he's consuming is telling him that women want to be chased. They want to be treated this way. He says, I just want you to get this name of the father on file in case he does anything to me. She's being controlled by her father. And then he says, what she really needs is something disgusting. The cop gave him some advice and said, you need to stay away. Here's my suggestion. Leave her alone. Fathers will hurt you over their daughters. This man's like, what right does that father have to control her? Wow. So culture smiles at vile songs and lyrics and videos and movies and books and video computer games and pornography in general. Are we not as a culture increasing abuse? Were earlier generations correct? I believe they were. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Stay away from alcohol. It'll help you stay away from abuse. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eye? If somebody takes advantage of you because you're drunk, they are still guilty. They are the primary criminal. But nevertheless, let's be smart. Let's be wise. Let's stay away from alcohol. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thy heart shall utter perverse things. Woe unto him, says Habakkuk. That giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that they may lookest, that they mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, that thy foreskin be uncovered. God is showing you that people will get you drunk so they could take advantage of you. But sometimes there's people that are trying to get a nation drunk so they can take the nation over. The whole point here is there are people that will get you drunk for manipulation. There are people that are trying to destroy this country so they could laugh at us, so they could look at the shame of the stupid Americans and then come in and ride in and take it over. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. Get this girl, she's a good girl, and happens millions of times all across the nation. She leaves, go to college, she can't wait to get to college. Somebody says, oh, you got to come to this party, and she goes, no, I don't drink. Oh, you don't got to drink, you just got to come here. You just got to attend it. She sees everybody laughing and having fun, and they say, well, just take a sip of this fruity drink, and some cute guy comes over. She takes a sip of the fruity drink, and next thing you know, for 30 minutes, she says, I can't believe I'm telling you my whole life story. You're just so easy to talk to. And then all of a sudden, she blacks out, she doesn't know what happened. She didn't intend to drink, but evil communications corrupt good manners. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. That's the rebellious. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. The Bible's telling you can avoid a lot of trouble with prudence and wisdom. When culture leads and encourages females to lose all signs of femininity, can it lead to some deranged, confused men not honoring them as much as they would have? That doesn't blame the women. It's saying, is there something we could do to help our situation today? What happens when male chivalry is no longer prized and taught to boys? What happens when it's scorned? What happens when a message is taught to young men that gentlemen are never respected? Girls will never like you if you're kind. Women love thugs. They want to be abused. And that's what the movies show you. That's what the wicked pornography shows you. That's what the rap music and all of that shows you. What does that do to confuse young men? Women are actually saying, there's news articles about it now. They're saying, I found this nice guy, but yet he's not even nice. He's crazy. He's perverted in his mind. But he says, well, I thought this is how you're supposed to treat women. That's what I've been taught growing up. What I'm saying is we are not doing our job as churches, as a culture. We're racing back to Egypt. IFL Science says ancient Egyptian women wore tramp stamps. What do a young mother in ancient Egypt and Britney Spears have in common? Lower back tattoos. New York Post says tramp stamp tattoos originated by ancient Egyptians. I'm telling you that our culture is going back to Egypt, going back to the land of Canaan. And you can choose. You want a pagan culture or do you want a Christian culture? If you want a Christian culture, let's dress, let's act like Christians. If you want a pagan culture that doesn't honor women, well, just look out your window. That's what you have today. And I don't believe you even have the slightest idea of how bad it is and how perverted these people are. Many of them. God says in Leviticus, after the doing of the land of Egypt wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. After the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, you shall not do. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Dear Father, we do pray that you would help us. Be sane enough to ask the basic common sense questions that need to be asked today. What are some things that we can do as individuals, as a culture, as leaders, to minimize abuse? And may we get back to your ways, your old paths, where women are beautiful and honored and protected. Not minimized, not despised, but truly honored. Lord, may we destroy, may we preach against, and if it's in our home, may we destroy any of the sick, vile, depraved, wretched, pagan garbage that glorifies all the evil that people say they're against. May we be careful, be watchful, be prudent. In Jesus' name, amen.